Well, a very good morning to you. It's lovely to see you this morning. And as we continue to find our way back worshipping together in person, as well as having you folks at home join with us too. It's great to be together as we worship Jesus together. As I said last week, we're beginning to be able to do a little more too in terms of group meeting in person. At the moment, it's only allowed during the week and outside of Sunday worship for other times of worship, for Bible study and prayer. So some life groups are able to meet if they want to, and that's a discussion for each group. And Red is meeting tonight in person. And this is going to continue to be a slow and a safe rollout, but we're hopeful at the moment of opportunities a little bit more and more as the weeks and months go in of meeting in person. We're also able to do weddings, which is great. And Johnny McLoone and Bethany Parkinson are getting married on Saturday. And we wish them every blessing for that and for all the days to come. And you can watch, if you'd like to, on the St. Phil Road Presbyterian YouTube channel. That's at 12:30 on Saturday. We're going to turn to our worship and celebration this morning, and we're going to read a psalm together, Psalm 33, to lead us into our worship of God. So on the screen should come the words, and I'm just grateful I've got them written here because I can't read them from this distance. So I'll read the words in at the top in print, and if we'll all join in together saying the words in bold and italic. Let's worship God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp, make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. Amen. Well, we come to praise the Lord of all creation. And we're going to sing together, and do feel free to stand and sing, Lord of all creation.
Gracious Lord, reveal your heart to me. Declares your majesty. You are holy, holy.
Let's pray to our holy God. Let's pray. Lord of all creation, God of wonders, what a world you have made. Lord, in these beautiful days of sunshine, how easy it is to glory in your creation. As we look at the color blooming in gardens, or walk through the forest, or along the river, or splash in the sea, or gaze across at the hills, we're reminded that you are the God who thought of it all, who said that it would be so, and who holds it all together. From a petal on a flower, to the moon in the afternoon blue sky, and the stars beyond. Lord, help us to delight more and more as we see your wisdom and your touch in the wonder of the world around us. God, you're the maker of all and the giver of everything good, and we praise you. But Lord, we ask that you would forgive us when we are short-sighted, even blind, to seeing your glory at work in our world. Sometimes we get too busy and focused on things that don't matter. We become dulled to your presence, dismissive of our need of you. Forgive us. Remind us daily how much we need you, how much we need to rest in you, how much we need your wisdom to change the way we think and live. Sometimes, Lord, we get so caught up in the things you've given to us as though they're ours by right. You've shared your riches so generously. You've given of yourself in Jesus. Sometimes we hoard our money and our time and all we have instead of sharing them. Lord, forgive us. You've blessed us so that we may be a blessing. So renew us this morning by the grace of Jesus and by the power of your Spirit. Speak to us through your word. Change us from the inside out. Help us to live wisely and generously to the glory of your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Well, we've started this series last week on Proverbs, and we called it Wise Up, because it's a lot to do with wisdom. And as we saw last week, the purpose of this book of Proverbs is for attaining wisdom. So today, we're going to wise up about wisdom. And Emily is going to come and read to us a couple of passages from Proverbs chapter 2 and from Proverbs chapter 8, all about wisdom. Emily, thank you.
So today's reading is taken from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, and Proverbs 8, verses 22 to 26. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. When you will understand what is right and just and fair and every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth. Amen.
Emily, thank you. Wise up about wisdom, we've said. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? Well, wisdom, we've said, and we talked a little bit about last week, is applied knowledge. So it's not just knowing information, but it's appreciating what to do with it. So as I've said before, maybe Chris, we could have this on the screen. Maybe to twist the line you've heard before, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, isn't it? And wisdom is knowing not to put it on a pavlova. Wisdom, not. I found that picture online. Somebody actually did obviously make a tomato pavlova. Wisdom often comes from lived experience. I suspect somebody tried that and decided that's not wise. I wouldn't recommend it. But wisdom is often expressed in lots of ancient books and cultures, not least in Proverbs, in the form of proverbs, little sayings, short, memorable, practical, often picture language, sometimes funny, sometimes exaggerated, that help us think through and apply what it's saying. So wisdom in general, we might say, is this. It's the ability to make good choices. Wisdom is the ability to make good choices. Maybe you're faced with a choice you have to make at the moment, and you could do with wisdom to make a good one. We might also say that wisdom isn't like fixed laws or prophecies that guarantee the outcome. So wisdom expresses the general shape of life. It's not guaranteed that all hard work will make a profit. And at the same time, some people seem to be able to get away with doing very little and make lots of money. But the general shape of hard work leading to reward and people who do nothing but talk ending up with very little, that is one we recognize as the shape of life, isn't it? In the same way, wise proverbs aren't like laws that tell us we must do something or must modify our behavior on the outside. Wisdom shapes us from the inside. So, like a parent's job is not simply to make a child polite on the outside, as though you have to go around doing that for the rest of the life of your child. I don't imagine, maybe I'm wrong here, I don't imagine when I'm 80 and my kids are 60, I'm still going to tell them to say please and thank you and sorry. Maybe some of you at that stage are still doing that with your kids, I don't know. But I guess a parent's role is to lovingly train them to be polite, to be naturally thoughtful and appreciative, that they will say please and thank you and sorry without being reminded. That is wisdom, isn't it? Shaping us from the inside to make ongoing good choices. Last week, we thought about some pictures of Proverbs, the wise king imparting his wisdom to us for living as his people in his kingdom. Even more purposefully, the Lord, the great instructor, training us to live in the right and the best ways. And more intimately, we thought of the Father sitting down to guide us, his children, in the paths of life. Not only are these pictures of passing on wisdom, we also saw them as pictures of God, our King, our Lord, and our Father. Pictures that point us to Jesus as the one who teaches and trains and guides us to wise up. So perhaps we might say that Proverbs is concerned with wisdom that gives us the ability not just simply to make good choices, but actually to make godly choices. And we're going to think a little bit about that distinction as we think about God and wisdom and our world. But I want us to take a moment for a little quiz. Got a little quiz for you. Just three questions, but it's fully interactive. So it's going to be a thumbs up, thumbs down. Okay. You can do this at home. Thumbs up, thumbs down. So I'm going to show on the screen, one after the other, three proverbs. And I want thumbs up if you think they are from the book of Proverbs in the Bible, and thumbs down if you think they are from outside of the Bible. Okay, so thumbs up from Proverbs, thumbs down from outside of the Bible. Okay? So, Chris, let's have the first one up here. Here it is. I'll read it to you if you can't see it. If the parents work while the children take it easy, their grandchildren will end up begging. Okay, thumbs up for the Bible, thumbs down for outside the Bible. Lift up your hands. Let's see. Up, down, up, down. Oh, a lot of families are split here. That's great. I'll love to see that. Do you know what? You can put your hands down. It is, in fact, a Japanese proverb. A Japanese proverb, so not from the book of Proverbs at all. But it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Fits in very well with the drive of Proverbs, the sort of thing you'd expect to see in there. Okay, number two. Chris, what's this? Pride comes before a fall. Oh, is that the Bible? Is that Shakespeare? You know, Bible or Shakespeare? What do you think that is? What do you think, Bible, Shakespeare? How are you doing at home? In fact, it's from the Bible. It's not Shakespeare. Sorry, led you up the garden path. It's from the Bible. In fact, it's a shortened version of a couple of proverbs from the Bible. It doesn't say exactly that, but in the longer version, it says, pride comes and falls, a shortened version of biblical proverb, Proverbs 16:18 and 18:12. Okay, last one. Do not remove the landmark from the boundaries of the field, and do not violate the widow's boundary. Do not remove the landmark from the boundaries of the field, and do not violate the widow's boundary. Thumbs up from Proverbs, thumbs down from outside the Bible. Actually, that's a trick question because it's both. It's great, isn't it? So, actually, this is from a book called The Instructions of Amenemope, which I'm sure you know well. It's ancient Egyptian wisdom literature that was around before Proverbs was written. But there is a Proverb 23:10, that says, "Do not move an ancient landmark or enter into the fields of the fatherless." Interesting. So, a few of the verses in Proverbs actually sound very much like wisdom taken from Egyptian wisdom literature way before Proverbs was written. It seems that the Proverbs might have drawn on some other wisdom that was already around in the world and in other cultures. Interesting. All of that quiz kind of leads me into the first thing I want to say, and for us to get that God made the world with his wisdom so we can actually learn from all of the world around us. We believe, and Proverbs 8 that we heard reflects this really clearly, that God made the world with his wisdom, bringing order and beauty that runs through all of his creation. So when we observe and look at people and nature and things, we see how they work. And when we listen to and the lived experience of people, across different cultures and across different times and centuries, how they've observed the world, we can actually learn much about how the world works, what's true, and wisdom for living life. It's because God, in his wisdom, made all things and holds all things together that we can see order and understand that the world has kind of cause and effect a lot of the time, and scientists and philosophers can look at the world and say so much that adds to human understanding about how things work. Science is possible because God made the world with wisdom. And Proverbs acknowledges this, not only in reminding us about the wisdom of God that's involved in creation, but even at times drawing on other sources of wisdom and recognizing the truth in them. So we too, we recognize the wealth of lived human experience and observations and reflections on the world. A world to be explored and understood more and more in so many ways, and so much wisdom to be gleaned from that, that can help people make good choices about living. And so there's lots of wisdom, lots of proverbs that aren't in the Bible, but they are worth hearing and bearing in mind to help us make good choices, whether they're Japanese proverbs or Egyptian wisdom literature or our own cultural proverbs. A stitch in time saves nine. The early bird catches the worm. They fit in with good biblical worldview. And you know, it's a good Presbyterian phrase, I don't know if you've heard this before, to talk about benefiting from light from any quarter. We say we benefit from light from any quarter. So there are what we might regard as wise people, that though they may not know God, draw helpfully from the world God has made. The very fact that that's possible is because God has made this world with wisdom, and we can learn from it. But, and there's always a but, isn't there? There's always a however. As humans, we can't just lean on our own understanding. That phrase that came from perhaps one of the most famous verses in Proverbs we heard last week. Do not lean on your own understanding, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Because for all the wisdom that flows through creation and that humans can tap into as we look at the world, yet we as humans do have a tendency to be, as Proverbs might put it, foolish. And we said last week, foolish in the Bible and in Proverbs doesn't so much mean intellectually ignorant, although sometimes it uses it in that way, but mostly it means morally and spiritually ignorant. That is, the fool doesn't want to recognize the true place of God and the wisdom of his ways. The fool thinks they can lean on their human understanding of things without God. And I guess such foolishness is a tendency across all of humans. We think we can lean on our own understanding. Which means that although we can learn much from the world around us, yet what people across the world, including us, think is good, by no means always what God thinks is good. What's godly. In some ways, I guess this is obvious as we look at history, isn't it? The 20th century, for all its wisdom and intellectual and technological development, is also going to go down in history as a century with two horrific world wars and much more that didn't make humankind look very wise. There are people of extraordinary minds, people of great wisdom in some areas of life. And yet we see a real brokenness and godlessness in other areas of their lives. How many people of promise have been undone by foolish choices? Our desire to think we've got it together, to lean on our own take, leads to all sorts of levels of disaster. Even the wisest King Solomon, who put this together, demonstrated in some real awful choices in the mess of his life that humans can be pretty foolish. So it's not that there isn't much truth to be discovered out in the world. It's just that as humans, we may think we're clever and good, but we're not that wise. And we tend to lean on our own limited, tainted understanding. Proverbs nails it more than once in the same phrase. There is a way that seems right to a person. We think we know what's good. But its end is the way to death. It's foolish. We need God's wisdom, says Proverbs, not just to lean on our own understanding. And that comes out not least in chapter 2 that we heard. We need to make not what are just good choices apparently to us, but what God says are godly choices. Wisdom from God, says chapter 2, verse 12, will save you. That's what will guard you and guide you. And as we've seen, this is the message of Proverbs. We need the wisdom of the Creator to live truly wise, right, beautiful lives in the world. Wisdom to make truly godly choices. Now, sometimes those choices are going to look similar to what is thought wise in the world around us, because God's wisdom, created and is at work in this world. Sometimes godly choices will look wholly different from the culture and from what people think around us. Okay, there's another quiz. Quick test. Chris is going to put a picture on the screen. You've maybe seen this before. Thumbs up for rabbit, thumbs down for duck. Thumbs up for rabbit, down for duck. Don't give me one of each, Ruth Hamilton, that's cheating. Up for rabbit, down for duck. I wonder how you see it at home. Maybe you've seen this picture before. In a similar way, as we take different views on that, God's people looking at the world with his wisdom may see things similarly to others. Of course, we're all looking at the same marks on the page. But at the same time, God's people may see things profoundly differently from those around them. Proverbs 28:25, here's an example, says this: a greedy person stirs up conflict. Now, if you've been following the debacle of the European Super League in football this past week, you will agree, and most people in the country do, greedy people have stirred up conflict. But what Proverbs goes on to say is much more countercultural to the prevailing wisdom. Whoever trusts in the Lord will prosper. And I wonder if that's a wider challenge to our culture about prosperity and what we trust in. Especially when, and I do love football, but when football makes headline news and tops government agendas, though so much else of greater importance is going on in the world. Anyway, what is most remarkable in Proverbs when we think about what is wisdom and our need for God's wisdom is that God's wisdom is described as a person. Into a world God has made with wisdom, to humans who both reflect that but have turned from God's wisdom, Proverbs speaks of wisdom not as the accumulation of knowledge, not as a force or a power, but as a person, a woman. From chapter 1, verse 20, we read, "Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares." Again and again, we hear of this woman, wisdom, up until Proverbs 8, leading into the passage we heard. Does not wisdom call out, saying, "To you I call out, I raise my voice to all humankind"? And in the passage that Emily read, we heard wisdom was appointed from eternity. Before the world was made, I was there when God set the heavens in place. I was the craftsman at his side. Whoever finds me finds life. Now, if you listen to those words carefully and read them carefully about this person of wisdom involved at creation, there's maybe some stuff in there to get our Bible brains ticking over a bit. We may start to hear some of that language and think back to Genesis 1, where God's Spirit alongside God hovered over the waters at creation, and God said, "Let us make humans in our own image." Our brains also might go forward and think of some passages in the New Testament that talk about Jesus. John chapter 1, let me put that up on screen. You may or may not be able to read it, but think how the words chime. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. Or as Paul writes in Colossians 1, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. But by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. Or as Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 1, as he contrasts the wisdom of the world and its philosophers with the wisdom of God, he says, Christ is, not just has, not just gives, but Christ is the wisdom of God. And then he prays in Ephesians that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give us the Spirit of wisdom. Well, listen, I don't want to bamboozle you with lots of different Bible references, and I'm not going to go into them further now, although you might like to think more about them. There are, of course, a number of issues with exactly how the woman of wisdom in Proverbs might connect to Christ and the Spirit. But you can see and begin to see how people over the ages have got excited to see those connections. Whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord, says the woman of wisdom. sounding awfully like Jesus. Very simply but profoundly, in the story of the Bible, powerfully through Proverbs and onwards, we're pointed to finding true wisdom by embracing the person of God in Jesus and by receiving his Spirit. True wisdom that we need, instead of leaning on our own understanding, comes from the person of God who's come into our foolishness to reveal true reality, true sanity, true wisdom, true ways of living, true life. And once again, Proverbs helps all people see this. To embrace wisdom for life means embracing Jesus. And that means that for all the worldly wisdom and wise people of the ages that we can and should learn from, yet even the youngest Christian is actually on a path of true wisdom greater than Socrates or Confucius or Stephen Hawking or countless other people who are extraordinarily clever, have added much to the wisdom of this world, but perhaps did not recognize the wisdom of their Creator. So Proverbs urges us to come to the Lord Jesus and keep coming to him for wisdom. Ask for and seek wisdom from the Lord Jesus. Maybe you are stuck with a choice at the moment. Maybe you're struggling to live in the right ways in the situation that you find yourself in. Maybe you're scratching around for advice on what to do. Ask Jesus. Proverbs 2 says, call out, cry aloud, look for it, search for wisdom. Like you're searching for treasure. And you will find it. You will find the knowledge of the Lord. Ask, and it will be given to you, says Jesus, the wise teacher in Matthew 7. Seek, and you will find. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask for it, says James in his letter of practical wisdom. I wonder, though, how often, and maybe I'm just judging you by my standards, but how often we don't ask. How much time we spend not looking. Here is a lot of true wisdom from God across all of living for our lives. Here is a lot of useful information, but also a lot of distraction and foolishness. Wisdom comes from first asking what the Lord Jesus has to say to us and looking at and listening to what he has said. But recognize this too, that the God who works in us by his Spirit to train us and shape us is making us wiser from within by his Spirit to make godly choices. Yeah, it requires our intentional effort as we apply ourselves to seeking what God has to say, but trust that God by his Spirit is at work in us. In the second part of chapter 2 that we heard from Emily, talks not just about seeking, but about what God and his wisdom does in us. The Lord gives wisdom, it says. Wisdom enters our hearts. And God, through his wisdom, shields us and guards us and protects us and guides us and brings about knowledge and understanding and joy. Wisdom calls us to come to Christ, humbly in prayer and listening. But as we do, and in ways more powerful than we could do on our own, by our own effort or by any measure of human understanding, we can trust that God is at work in you and me and us. His Spirit of wisdom shaping us and changing us from the inside out. May he give us eyes to see that. May he give us hearts and mouths to encourage that in one another as we seek to live in his ways, his wise ways in this world. Amen. We're going to sing the perfect wisdom of our God. We're going to stay seated as we sing that and help us to reflect on God's wisdom in our lives. And then Dave's going to come and lead us in prayer.
The perfect way. matchless wisdom of his ways that mark the path of righteousness. His word a lamp unto my feet, his spirit teaching and guiding me. And all the mysteries of the cross that God shall suffer.
Let's talk to God together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we begin by thanking you for the good news that is your word, the Bible. And we thank you for how it continues to teach us about our salvation through your Son, Jesus. Thank you that the Bible reminds us that the Holy Spirit is working within us, leading us and giving us the wisdom to make good choices that glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for the wise decisions of the leaders and the employees in our health service, those continuing to work tirelessly to care for us during this pandemic. We thank you, Lord, for the good news this week about how well the Northern Ireland vaccination program is going. We pray for everyone involved in the program, Lord. We pray that they would continue to be motivated and energized as they try to protect everyone against the virus. We also remember those who have recently suffered a loss, Lord, or those who continue to be in pain and are receiving treatment. In a moment of silence, Lord, we remember them and lift them up to you. Many of us saw the shocking images of the wildfires and the mourns this week, Lord. And so we now turn our attention to your firefighters, as well as other public servants, such as community workers, the police service, and council workers. We pray for their safety, Lord, as they often put themselves in harm's way to serve and protect others on a daily basis. We lift our local community to you, Lord, but we also remember many around the world who need your comfort and protection. We remember every man, woman, and child in India, Lord, as they try to manage the latest wave of COVID infections. In another moment of silence, we remember them, lift them up to you, and ask that you would open our eyes and our hearts to what we could and should be doing to help. As we keep our focus outside our island, Lord, we remember the Timothys in Japan and the Mwangis in Kenya. We pray that they would continue to feel supported by and connected to us, as well as protected by and motivated by you. We pray for those serving you on this island, Lord, friends and family who have been called to draw others close to you. We again pray for their safety, wisdom, energy and creativity, Lord, as they try to do their jobs in an environment that is less than helpful at the minute. And as part of our 30 days of prayer, Lord, we continue to remember Muslims around the world. We pray for respect of all cultures and religions, and we pray that those who come from different backgrounds to our own would feel welcome in our communities, our churches, and our homes. We take a moment, Lord, to pray for the moderator, Reverend Bruce. As opportunities to visit congregations may start to open up, we pray for his ongoing ministry of encouragement and pastoral care to all ministers and their congregations. Heavenly Father, we want to pray for Ben, Moni, Jill, and Johnny as they, in their different roles, continue to give their all for the congregation here at SRPC and the local community. Guide them, Lord, and give them energy and wisdom as they navigate the end of lockdown and plan for church life post-COVID. We also thank you, Lord, for the amazing resources they and others have recommended recently to help us engage with the Bible and learn more about you. Finally, Lord, we remember anyone, young or old, struggling with mental health issues. We are so thankful for the positive conversations that have already happened in many settings about how we can focus our efforts on supporting anyone who is struggling. We pray for boldness and honesty, Lord. Help us not be afraid to ask if someone is okay, or if we're struggling ourselves, help us be brave. Help us be completely open and honest with those we trust. And finally, Lord, if we feel we can't share our problems with others, remind us that we can share anything with you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
David, thank you. We're going to stand and sing closing hymn, "May the Mind of Christ My Saviour Live in Me From Day to Day." End with some words from Ephesians. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. May the eyes of our hearts be enlightened that we may know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious.